Here we go.
Oh, no, that's all good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unadjust your radio.
Get this party started, people.
I was going to let that roll for a little bit, Rob. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome once again
to
Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Got your boy, yours truly, Andre, and Robert Ford. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Let's get this started. Wednesday, October the 5th. Very exciting thing to bring to you guys tonight, as always. Now the drill. We are here live, and got a lot of things to discuss. So let's go ahead and jump in. Rob, you've been having a good week so far.
Oh yeah, everything is going great. We got a lot to discuss here. A lot happening in the sports world right now: college football, pro football, Major League Baseball playoffs, and we got some drama in the NBA still.
That's always the case, yeah. Well, like I said, we'll see how much time we have to jump into all those different topics, but it's kind of tough because, you know, obviously we have so much to talk about, catch up as far as college football. You want to talk about some baseball stuff real quick and some NBA stuff, and then we'll get into the meat of the show, if you will. You want to kind of go that route?
Yeah, we can kind of recap college football this past weekend and maybe kind of preview some of the top 25 matchups. I think we have three top 25 matchups coming up this coming weekend, so we can kind of get into some of those matchups and get some predictions in as well.
Gotcha. Well, real quick, since we are a sports show, we're going to talk about a couple things. Obviously, let's jump into some sports, some baseball stuff, excuse me. You know, upset about my Braves not making it in, but it's been interesting to see your Yankees doing their thing. The Cardinals just beat the Phillies, so it's kind of a tied series, if you will. And the Diamondbacks are trying to stay, doing really good against the Brewers, and, it is what it is. So that's what's going on as far as some baseball stuff. Let's,
the Cardinals thing with the Phillies is kind of a surprise, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know I have a lot of Philly fans out there that I'm friends with. And I'm a little upset because I was saying you guys can let us get one game. So I'm kind of on the St. Louis Cardinals bandwagon. So I want the Phillies to get eliminated. So, take it, suck it there, whatever you want to take. So we'll see how that plays out. So that's a little bit, I know, but still kind of hurt the way that we went out. And I know the Braves didn't handle their business, but, I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Anything else to talk about this? Go ahead.
I think the Cardinals are hanging with the Phillies. I thought out of the four matchups here in the Major League Baseball playoffs, I thought that was probably the most lopsided. And but the Cardinals are hanging in there and giving the Phillies all they can handle.
Yeah, so very interesting too. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of plays out in those games. Any word about the NBA lockout, about what's going on with that? I mean, I know the sides are still, they've been meeting. Anything that we have to update as far as what's going on? I mean, I know it looks like the preseason has been canceled, and now we're kind of threatening getting to some short games if we don't get something done pretty quickly, if you will.
Yeah, well, the latest drop-dead date by David Stern is this coming Monday. If there's not an agreement by Monday, there will either be canceled regular season game or it's going to be postponed games. One of the proposals is that even if they don't start the season on November 1st, they may push the start of the season back and still get 82 games, which means the season will probably go into July if that is the case.
Wow.
So that's one of the latest proposals. But I just wonder how that will work because that will kind of overlap with the NBA draft.
The draft,
we'll kind of have to wait and see how that plays off. But there's obvious, I think they're a little bit closer than what they were 2 months ago. But that being said, I still think they have some issues that need to be worked out, and I'll be very shocked if they have an agreement by Monday.
Why do you think that a lot of people are upset about the way that the NBA has been going? Because you think it's the fact that players can play overseas, if you will, as opposed to the NFL? It's more or less like, you know, they had to get some things worked out. Do you think that's kind of a why? I mean, obviously, you know, we're basketball fans too, but why do you think that's kind of like a secondary thing with the fans? Do you think, as I mentioned earlier, because of the way that they can kind of go overseas and get paid, if you will, or?
Well, I think the overseas thing, I think players are using that as a threat to the NBA, but I don't think that's really bothering the NBA at all because ideally those guys, most of the star players cannot make as much overseas as they can here in the States. And plus, a lot of these players have injury clauses in their contracts. So what happens is Kobe Bryant will sign a contract and go play. But if he gets hurt in Italy and if it's career-threatening, that completely voids his contract with the Lakers. So,
wow.
I mean, I would be shocked if any marquee player goes and plays overseas just because they have too much at risk with their current contract. I think it's just leveraged by the players to try to see if they can get the NBA to expedite a deal, but I don't really think that's working. And, you know, and right now, the NFL is kind of set up to whereas every team is, you know, is sharing television revenue and you know, every team is operating under the same salary cap system. The NBA is set up slightly different. Albeit the NBA has a salary cap system, they don't share all television revenue, which means a team in the market is going to get more from television than a team in the Portland market. You know, that's just the bottom line. So there's still some revenue things that big market teams has a slightly bigger advantage in the NBA. And so what they're trying to do is get all the teams on a little bit of an even scale so smaller market teams have the opportunity to compete a little bit more. It's still a better system than what they have in baseball, but it's still not as good as the system they have in the NFL.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, obviously, are the Knicks still paying for Allen Houston's contract? You know, that's another thing that's happening. I mean, I'm the joker, but, you know, obviously they got the guaranteed contracts, and, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of things that the owners are trying to get out of is, you know, paying luxury taxes and all things like that, too. So I'm kind of interested. I don't know enough about the intricacies of the deals that are going on, too. So maybe that's, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I know, like, a lot of times I hear, like, you know, I keep hearing about this number, about $40 million or something crazy that they're apart. So it's like, I don't think those sides are going to budge, if you will. So I don't know. We'll see how everything plays out, too, for those that are trying to see how the seasons are going to play out, if you will.
Yeah, it should be, you know, it should be very interesting. And, you know, the NBA, as of right now, as you know, all the contracts are guaranteed. And I think that's something else that the owners are not really a big fan of, because if you sign a guy like Baron Davis, a 5-year, $55 million contract, you stuck with it. As opposed to if you sign a guy to a contract like that in the NFL, you can cut him and you're off the hook with the contract. And so those are just some logistical things that the owners would like to have changed, you know, as opposed to being stuck with a contract and have to wait till that contract is over before you can rebuild your franchise.
Yeah. It is very interesting how everything's played out. But like I said, I know we've been spending a lot of time on that, you know, a little more than expected. But, you know, we'll definitely see what happens on Monday. We'll have something to update by the next show. But, you know, if we're going to have a drop dead date or if we're going to have to play some games into July, as you mentioned, too. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how everything plays out. Wow. All right. Let's go ahead and make a jump to college football, if you will, and kind of recapping some games that happened over the past weekend. It was a very interesting weekend, to say the least. We're going to save the best juicy stuff to the end because, you know, with Florida and Alabama, because that segues into next week's game. But basically, it was good to see Russell Wilson did some great things for Wisconsin and just kind of blowing the doors off of Nebraska, Clemson holding down Virginia Tech. You know, I'm a little upset about, you know, Robert Griffin III losing to Kansas State by 1 point because I'm a big Robert Griffin III fan. And just interesting to see, I know we called it last week as far as Arkansas and Texas A&M and how they kind of edged them a little bit too. So your boys handle their business versus Kentucky. And the biggest game of all, obviously, to see Alabama kind of hand it to Florida. And Florida losing, obviously, Jeff Brantley. And obviously getting their redshirt, I don't know if he's a redshirt freshman or not, but a freshman QB, Jeff Driscoll, going to play against you guys next week.
Freshman.
So we'll see. Is he a true freshman? Wow, okay. I didn't realize that he was a true freshman or not. So, you know, playing you guys at Baton Rouge this week, it's going to be tough for him, and I'm sure LSU is going to be chopping their bits, if you will. So it doesn't get easier for Florida. But let's kind of talk about some games here. And I kind of starting to feel sorry for Jeff Brantley. He's just having a bad luck, because I was going to ask you as well, you think that he's going to be a pretty good pro QB. So I'll let you kind of attack that, and I'll give a quick shout-out to you. Jeff Camp, a good Florida fan, and hopefully he's not crying right about now. But go ahead and talk about some exciting recaps and some things for the future, if you will.
Yes, well, I mean, obviously Alabama, I would have to say, had the most impressive victory this past weekend. And, I mean, that was, even before Brantley got hurt, it looked like they were well on their way to winning that ball game. And, I mean, for them to go down on the road in the swamp in Gainesville and just manhandle Florida, I mean, it was, that Alabama defense is just, very impressive, I must say. And, you know, as you know, anyone who's been listening to the show, for the last few months, everyone know I'm a LSU fan, so it's kind of hard for me to compliment a team like Alabama, but the facts are they are a great defensive ball club and a great overall complementary football team. And they're going to be a very hard football team to beat. Obviously, they're playing Vanderbilt this weekend, so I think they're going to chalk up another win. Alabama, yeah. We mentioned Florida going on the road to LSU down in the Bayou. And I'm an LSU fan. I don't want to sound too biased, but I definitely think LSU is going to take this ball game over Florida, playing against a true freshman quarterback, making his first start in a hostile environment. I think it's going to be very hard.
A true
freshman to come on the road and to pull off an upset. So I definitely like LSU and Alabama to both keep winning. And we'll see if they the matchup on November 5th, where they'll both be undefeated. They could both be undefeated and go 1-2 in the country.
Wow.
At that time, it should be very interesting. I think the overall game of the week this week is Oklahoma and Texas, as we know that's a huge rivalry.
Red River Shootout, yep.
Yes. My personal opinion, I like Oklahoma in that matchup. I still think they are overall more than Texas, but it's a rivalry game, so you never know. That's why they play the game. But my pick would be Oklahoma. And the other top 25 game is Auburn at Arkansas, another SEC slash. I like Arkansas at home in that matchup, the Auburn at first conference loss. And I'll let you go ahead and make your kind of predictions and insight into those games.
Yeah, definitely listening to some people talking about Florida and LSU, and basically they are saying that, unfortunately, for Florida, the best way, if LSU does have a weakness, is kind of their passing defense. I'm not saying that's a weakness, but, you know, obviously you want to kind of attack them through the air. And now, granted, on Florida, you definitely want to run, try to, like, protect your young quarterback. But, you know, LSU has a pretty stout defensive line, so that's going to be a challenge as well. So it's just like you mentioned, I think it's going to be tough to come in and do an upset. Just too much things going against them, and, you know, losing their quarterback, that's kind of tough too as well. You mentioned obviously Oklahoma and Texas. I kind of tend to agree with you too. Oklahoma should pull that off. Like you said, unless you kind of can corral Landry Jones, it's going to be tough for Texas to make any moves too. But, you know, like you said, it is a rivalry game, so you never know how things play out. I like the other game that you had, the other big game. But you got to mention, too, I know that they're not as ranked, if you will, but Georgia-Tennessee is also a big game this weekend, too, with Georgia going to Knoxville. Obviously, I want to say he's Tyler Gray, if you will, is quarterback for Tennessee.
He's playing very well.
Yeah, doing some phenomenal things, and I think he's like he's throwing like 14 touchdowns, to 2 interceptions, something crazy like that. And you know, before, I'm sure if you're Georgia, you think we got this game in hand, you know. But obviously, they've lost. They got in trouble the last 2 times they played Tennessee. So it may not be a ranked game, but I'm sure it's gonna be a big game. Obviously, here for the Southeast, for us, and watching that,
prior to the season, I would say that's the game I thought Georgia would win for sure. But I would have to, if I was making a prediction tonight on that matchup, I'm picking Tennessee at home. I just think the quarterback's playing well. I don't know if Georgia's quite just yet, and I actually like Tennessee in that matchup.
Yeah, only because, like I said, they're at home. That's going to be tough for Georgia to make a move. If they were kind of playing at Georgia, that'd be kind of a different story, too. I mean, I still would probably give Tennessee the edge, but, you know, as you mentioned, this quarterback play is a big thing right now. Aaron Murray is kind of struggling a little bit, as well as the whole Georgia offense. They haven't scored a lot of touchdowns, if you will, so very surprising. I know they beat Mississippi State. You keep hearing about some struggles offensively, and that's nothing against Isaiah Crowell, obviously their outstanding freshman running back, but just something's missing right now with Georgia. So we'll see if they kind of right the ship, if you will. Like I said, as far as doing, you know, some progress, but we still got to lean towards Tennessee in that particular game. I guess the last one, obviously, just real quick about the Thursday night game, you have Cal at Oregon. I know, shout out to West Coast folks out there that are big Cal fans. We'll see how they handle Oregon. Still have to give a slight edge to Oregon right now. I think Cal is kind of young, as we mentioned before, so maybe they'll make some tracks, if you will, getting that experience. And as you mentioned, become more old, but maybe it's more of a next year thing for them, I think, if you will. So anything else you want to add as far as go ahead, I'm sorry.
I would have to agree with you on that particular matchup. My apologies to our fans out in the Bay Area about the Cal Berkeley Bears, but I would definitely have to go with Oregon. I think Oregon just has too much talent as of right now, and I definitely like them to win that matchup. I think the only team in the Pac-10 that can beat Oregon is Stanford and possibly USC in the upset.
Wow, good deal. Good deal. I guess real quick, you know, before we talk about pros, I mean, we got about 10, 12 minutes and we'll dive into this, but what do you think about Jeff Brantley? Do you think he's going to be a pro quarterback? Or, I mean, I don't know enough about his injury, if he's going to be out for a while or what, but what do you think about his chances? Is he kind of a good quarterback going to the next level, you think? Or, you know, it kind of sucks that he kind of had some tough years, if you will, so didn't know what you had an opinion on him, if you will.
I don't see him as a quarterback that's going to get drafted. I kind of see him as somebody that may pick him up as a undrafted free agent and give him an opportunity to make a ball club. You know, you might be able to see him as a third string QB or a practice squad quarterback. But, yeah, I don't see him as a legitimate starting NFL quarterback at all. I just don't see the intangibles. I don't see the leadership abilities. And but I can definitely see him as an undrafted guy that could possibly, make a ball club as a third string or undrafted free agent.
Well, you hope that if you're Florida fans, Jeff Brantley ends up like Arian Foster, you know, kind of undrafted and making some waves. But that's kind of a stretch, I'm saying, obviously. But we'll see how that plays out. Yeah. That's a pretty big stretch, yeah, because Arian Foster is just turning the league upside down with his play. So, good deal. With that, let's go ahead and transition right into the pros. We pulled off a lucky win as a Falcon fan. I'm not going to talk too much about us. We had a big game versus Green Bay. Saints rolling, and Tampa Bay's rolling as well. And I guess anything you want to highlight as far as, you know, last week it was kind of a blur. I do want to mention a quick thing as far as an upcoming game Monday night. You have the Bears and Lions, and I think if you're a Lions fan, this is kind of a pretty big statement game, if you will, because I know that the Bears have been, you know, probably beating you guys up the past couple of years, And now I think you kind of have the Bears, the Bears' attention, if you will. So I think this is definitely a statement game, and very interesting to see how the Lions play on Monday night.
Yes, I'm very intrigued by that. I don't know if you realize this, but there's only 2-4-0 teams in the league, and Detroit is one of them, with another one being Green Bay. And I've been impressed. The last couple of weeks, Detroit has come from behind by 20 points. And this past week, trailing 27-3 to Dallas and getting a victory on the road. That's very impressive. Growing up right before our eyes, young quarterback Matthew Stafford. Calvin Johnson is playing like the best wide receiver. Tech fan and probably music to your ears, but the guy is playing like the best wide receiver in football right now. Maybe he even surpassed Andre Johnson. I mean, the guy is just unguardable right now. And he has some other weapons. I mean, Job at best. And, you know, they got a tight end that's growing up, Brandon Pettigrew. And the Dominican Sue might be the best defensive tackle in the game already. The guy is that good. They might have some issues in their secondary, but, you know, Chris Houston came up with a big interception this past weekend. And they're getting by the secondary with a little bit about smoke and mirrors, or their front seven is making up for it. But they're playing well. I mean, they're playing extremely well. I think they're going to beat Chicago. I think they'll get to 5-0. And so it should be very interesting.
Yeah, like I said, good points. And fortunately, too, if you're a Cowboys fan, I mean, you got to give some credit to the Lions, too. But also, unfortunately, Cowboys are just not getting it done. You hate to keep beating dead horse with Romo, but just not making good decisions near the end there, making some key picks there. So it just didn't. You know, obviously, it's very frustrating, I'm sure, if you're a Cowboys fan, and also an Eagles fan as well. I mean, you know, pretty much christening the dream team, and they've lost some fourth quarter leads too as well. And you know, obviously, another shout out to the West Coast as you know, San Francisco does. If I would have been a betting man, I wouldn't have bet that San Francisco would actually beat the Eagles, but that's what indeed happened. So it's just it's just interesting to see how, you know, some teams that that we thought are going to be a little bit better, and it is still early in the season, obviously too. But it's going to be interesting to see how those teams play out. And real quick, you mentioned the other 4-0 team with Green Bay, and as a Falcon fan, we're pretty. What's the word we're looking for? I don't think we're optimistic. I think we're realistic in realizing that it's going to be a tough game for us. It's kind of one of the situations too where we can't win. If we win the game, we'll get kind of like, well, you know, so what? We won in the regular season. Didn't matter because of last year. And if we lose, obviously, it's kind of like, hey, you know, you lost the game and did we not address all the things that we were trying to accomplish, you know, via defense and offense. So I'm not really sure how to play this game off. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything turns out because, you know, because of the Packers, it's why we made all the moves and moved up the draft Julio Jones and I don't think that was our problem. I think our problem was defense. So we'll see how everything plays out in a very big Sunday night game, obviously.
Well, I don't necessarily see it that way. I think if the Falcons are playing a way to win this game, I think the fan base should be ecstatic because I think Green Bay is playing the best football in the league, clearly.
We'll be ecstatic, Rob, but I'm saying it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of like we'll be kind of sore. Like, got it, but, you know, it still doesn't replace what happened last year is what I'm thinking. But go ahead, I'll let you finish.
Last year. I mean, you have to put that in the past. And but I think for now, I think if you're a Falcon fan, if you're able to beat this Green Bay team, I mean, you have to look at it as it's not a playoff win, but it's still a big win for this particular season. So if they are able to find a way to pull out that victory, I think that's a huge win because you and I probably both know as of right now, Green Bay is probably playing the best ball in the league. I mean, their offense almost looks unstoppable. I mean, I mean, 49 points against Denver. I know Denver's not one of the elite teams in the league, but that's, I mean, that's their offense. I mean, they just have weapons all over the field. I mean, this is a really strong football team with a really strong chance of repeating. Obviously, with me being a Saints fan, I'm hoping that the Saints can find a way to overtake them. But it's, and I'm sure you feel the same way. It's going to be easier said than done.
Yeah, good point. I mean, like you said, we're not too confident here in Atlanta. Everyone's pretty thinking, yeah, the Packers got this game. And not because, you know, we're homers, but it's just like the realism, like, man, unless they do some type of surprise that we don't know about, it's, you know, we're barely pulling out wins versus Seattle and barely pulling out wins and getting beat by Tampa. So hopefully we do some damage here. We got about 4 minutes, Rob, I guess. Let's talk about some things. You want to talk about your Saints and any other games you want to jump into, and then we'll kind of wrap up the show, if you will. So I'll kind of turn the floor over to you, sir, and kind of wrap the show up, if you will.
All right. Well, one other note I'll mention about the Green Bay-Atlanta game. Atlanta has been a very good team at home, too. And so that's something that can probably work in their favor in that matchup. And that should be a really interesting ball game to watch. On one hand, I think you may see a Falcons team that is really fired up based on what happened in the playoffs. And but we'll kind of have to kind of wait and see. Like I said, this Green Bay team is playing, as of right now, they're playing lights out. And regarding the Saints, obviously it's always good to get a win in the NFL. And the Saints were able to do that this past weekend in Jacksonville. Couple of things that, Saints fans out there have been able to watch the game. Saints have settled for a lot of field goals, particularly the red zone offense wasn't hitting on all cylinders and had 500 some yards worth of offense, but only 23 points. So that was a little bit of concern that you would like to see the Saints clean up this week going on the road at Carolina. And, I mean, it's a game that not trying to sound like a homer, but I believe the Saints are going to go on the road to beat Carolina. But they still have some things, you know, the red zone offense and, you know, played pretty good defense this past week. They were going against a rookie quarterback, Blaine Gabbert. So I think there's some areas that they can definitely still clean up if they want to try to work their way up to the beating the Green Bay Packers, I believe. And, other matchups, New England, of course, getting back on track, road over Oakland, bounce back. And what do you think about the Philadelphia at Buffalo game this week?
That's good. That's a good call, man. We made some calls last week about what 3-0 team did you believe in. And, we thought that Buffalo was going to do some damage and just kind of like, I'm sure they're upset about losing to Cincinnati, but that's going to be a very interesting game. Has a capability of being pretty high scoring. Now, right now, Buffalo isn't really stopping anybody. And Philadelphia has given up like a lot of fourth quarter leads, if you will. So that's actually going to be more intriguing than I imagined. And I think that didn't Shane Gailey have an interest in Michael Vick as well? I mean, wasn't he kind
there
of
was,
to be
there
Michael
was some
Vick
rumors
too,
about
a little
that
bit?
Was...
Yeah.
There was some rumors about that being a possible destination for him. Obviously, Philadelphia beat them to the gun there, but there was some speculation that Buffalo was one of the destinations. But it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Buffalo's found him a good quarterback there. This guy has gotten better and better every year since he's been in the league of Harvard. So I think Buffalo has their quarterback. And I actually believe Buffalo's going to win this ball game. I don't know how many other people out there agree with me, but I think Buffalo's at home. They're playing well at home. And that crowd is going to be rocking. I like Buffalo in that game.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Unfortunately, I think Philadelphia kind of has a backs against the wall. It's kind of like, I hate to say must win this early in the season, but I definitely think it's kind of a must win for them too. So I think they're going to try to pull out all the stops, and they may try to eke this out too. So, that's just me. I think it's kind of like they're up against the wall, and they're going to try to do everything in their power to actually get this win. So, very interesting, too. Well, as we wrap up, you know, the Sounders going down and the show once again is coming to an end, but I hope you guys had a good time listening to us talk about sports. And you know the drill, we are here every Wednesday at the same time at 11 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Central, all that jazz. Check us out, Facebook, all that jazz, and we are here. Rob, do you have anything to say as we wrap up the show for another successful night for talking sports with the 12th man?
Join the same time, same place on next Wednesday. We still have some more exciting football seasons to go in both college and pro.
It always amazes me, too, how time seems to fly by. We have so much stuff to talk about, but we try to fit everything in, too. So it's definitely a pleasure for us to host the show and talk about stuff, too. You know, it is what it is. We'll get the number out there, too, as well. We just got so caught up in talking about baseball and NBA and getting caught up with college that we get a chance to plug that, too. But, you know, as always, we're here. Look forward to feedback and anything else, and we're going to start putting our shows on archive stuff, too, as we continue to get the message out there, and we hope everyone had a good time. Rob Ford?
Sounds good. We're looking forward to next week.
That is it. Well, man, I know it kind of cut off, man, but that's okay. How do you feel? Feel good? Does the iPhone sound good?
So what?
How does it feel? Does the iPhone sound good to you and everything? Is that pretty good?
Oh, yeah. How did it sound? Everything came across pretty
yeah.
well?
Yeah, I mean, I know I use my iPhone too, man. Hopefully I don't sound like I'm distant or anything like that. So I know I probably have to sound a little louder on certain points because whenever I listen to the show last time, I was kind of low. So I guess it's more or less like making sure that it sounds loud. And certain times I think they discourage that because sometimes your cell can kind of go in and out. So, you know, I think it's fine. We're growing. We're having fun. So,
yeah, that's the first time I've done it from my cell phone. Usually I do it from a landline to make sure I'm getting a clean sound.
Yeah, I think you sound good on your landline, too. So, you know, that's just me, but, it is what it is.
Yeah, I just got tonight was another one of the nights I was feeling a little sleepy, too. I need to try to sound like I'm fresh.
Nah, you're fine. Like I said, you know, it is kind of late, man. So as everything gets better and we get some sponsors, yeah, you know how the drill works. We'll probably get an earlier time slot, but it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
The time
flies by so fast.
I know, man. You know, like I said, sometimes I'm kind of glad it's like 30 minutes, too, because, you know, if you had to push another hour, you'd be like, man, I mean, I'm sure we can talk for an hour, but, you know, you'd have to make it a little earlier in the day or do something like that. That's a long time to be talking, you know, so. I'm right there with you, man. You got lots of going on, too. So it is what it is. Hopefully, like I said, I'm going to have to check my link, man, because I was having problems with sending it, because I guess when I clicked to send it, it kind of gave me a bell signal. So I don't know if I have to click it right before the show starts or if I have to click it afterwards. So I hope tell Gina to we'll try to send you. I sent you that short link, too, so we'll try to, you know, get that out at some point to make sure that she can listen to the show as well. Okay?
Make it do what it do.
All right, sir, as always, man, a pleasure, man. Hope you had fun, man. We'll see you same time next week unless anything else changes, man. But, you know, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, sounds good, man. Same time, same place next week.
Same time, same channel. Get some rest, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, Chief. All right, later.
All right, Doc. We'll talk to you later. All right, bye.